Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Kelly Walquist, and I'm joined today by the lovely Paul Sadek.
Oh, hey. Gee.
And the fabulous Alyssa Bormes.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And together, the three of us are Jeff Cavins.
It's perfect. I've always wanted to be him.
That works out great. Jeff is on the East Coast evangelizing or helping people shovel. I'm not sure which, but he's out there. So we're filling in for him today. And we have an awesome show. We have a great show because we're talking about one of the gems in our archdiocese. And that is the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. So a little later, we'll hear from a soon-to-be graduate, Miss Alyssa Bormes herself.
I love it. I'm in the class of St. Francis, and it's just been marvelous.
I've got to see a picture of you with the mortarboard.
There we go. It's pretty plain, though. It's Franciscan, so it's pretty...
Okay.
It's,
yeah.
So she's going to be graduating this May.
I think
May.
With highest honors, right?
We'll see about that.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. We'll see how that goes. And then also we'll be talking to a student in the class of St. Gianna, and actually one that's doing the distance ed. So he's doing the distance ed right in Divine Mercy, Faribault. So
wow.
It's kind of, that's new this year, and it's very
that's
exciting.
Great.
Tell me about this conference that you women had.
Oh, did we have a conference?
Did we have a conference?
So I know we've been promoting it here on the Rediscover Hour for about the last, I don't know, couple weeks leading up to it. And it was the WINE Catholic Women's Conference.
And what does that stand for?
Women in the New Evangelization. So we partnered, Women in the New Evangelization, which is a women's ministry, partnered with the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis and put on the first ever WINE Catholic Women's Conference. And it was sold out,
fantastic crowd. Epiphany was great host. And the speakers, the Carmel rolls were incredible. But the speakers, the women that talked to me afterward, they were moved. It was an incredible thing.
I think the one thing, Paul, that I hear the most this week is, I've never been to anything like that.
Right.
And the second thing is, I'm inviting 10 people next year.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Well, I would imagine women's conferences have a lot of the same dynamic that a good men's conference has. It's good to get together with people of your own gender and celebrate your faith. There is something special about it.
There is. And meeting people, even if we're on different areas on our spiritual journey, it's great to come together in community.
Right.
There's just a happiness, a joy that is there.
The joy was palpable. And the other thing is coming together with people who aren't on your same level of the spiritual journey. Frankly, it pushes me, in a sense, to reach where they are.
Right.
And it was marvelous. I just can't say enough how great it was.
And now all those women that went can talk to their sons and their husbands.
Right.
And their fathers, because we got a men's conference coming up.
Exactly. Yeah, that's coming up on March 21st at the University of St. Thomas, the AARC Fieldhouse in St. Paul. It'll start at 8 in the morning and end at noon. Cost is $20, high school students $10. Theme is Conquering Sin, and the keynote speaker, Father Rich Simon.
Yeah.
I am so looking forward to seeing Father Rich. He is a dynamic speaker, fun, and full of life. So that's coming up on March 21st. It includes breakfast, mass, dynamic speakers, opportunity for confession, and a lot more. If you want to find out some more, go to www.archspm.org under events or search for men's conference. And today is the first Friday in Lent.
Yeah, how you doing?
Well, it's the first Friday in Lent, but it's actually week zero of Lent. Next week is called week one of Lent.
Week one. Well, so far I'm doing well in
Lent.
Well,
it's a season of conversion. Are you converting?
I am converting. Father Bear is going to be also at the men's conference, and last night he gave one of the best homilies and called us to action. His call to action for Lent, which is a great one, was to read scripture, a little more scripture. But what he did is he put a little twist on it. He said, I want you to read it backwards.
Backwards?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? What he was saying was that he always likes to read the book, the end of the book first.
Yes.
And then go, and he said, what I want you to do is read the book of Deuteronomy and start at the end of it, because it's so beautiful. And what God is doing is he's saying to the Israelites who've been in the wilderness for 40 years, he's saying to them in this beautiful, prophetic, gorgeous voice through Moses, he's saying, we were on a honeymoon. We were on a honeymoon. I just took you on a honeymoon so you could just trust in me. All you needed was me going through that desert. And I think that's what Lent's about. We're going through that desert to repent and to return and to retrust God.
I love the book of Deuteronomy, and just that the law is reiterated, the Ten Commandments, and then 613 other laws are added to in order that they can live properly in the Promised Land.
Right.
And I think that right now in Lent is that sense of, okay, I need to go deeper into obedience, deeper into listening to the voice of God in order that I can one day come to the Promised Land, heaven.
Amen. And so, Father Bear, if you're listening, I read the Song of Moses today at the back of Deuteronomy.
Oh, excellent.
We'll see him at the men's conference too, Saturday, March 21st. Now, what's coming up?
Well, coming up, we have Dr. Bill Stevenson, one of our most beloved instructors at the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute.
He's one of my favorites.
He's great. He's great. And then we've got another student, and Father Duffner will round off the hour for us, telling us just how the Institute has changed his parish.
And we'll come right back in just a minute on the Rediscover Hour.
If you've been looking for a fulfilling part-time position with a company that offers flexible daily work schedules, paid training, and a guaranteed 20 hours per week, I hope you'll consider contacting Twin City Transportation. Twin City Transportation, a leader in the Minnesota transit industry for over 25 years, is currently hiring for driver positions. The job entails providing transportation throughout the Twin Cities metro area for students with special needs or who are between homes. Applicants should be at least 22 years old, with a valid Minnesota driver's license, a clean driving record, and pass a background check and physical. Twin City Transportation offers flexible hours, a company vehicle, paid training, and a guarantee of 20 hours paid per week during the school year, with summer hours optional. Join us in this rewarding job making a difference in a child's life. To learn more, call Kevin at 612-212-6777. That's Kevin at Twin City Transportation, 612-212-6777.
Hi, I'm Alyssa Bormas, and welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm here with Kelly Walquist and Paul Sadek. We're trying to make up Jeff Cavins, all three of us together.
We're doing a good job.
Absolutely. Well, we have a guest on the line. He teaches at the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, which, as you said before, is definitely a gem in the crown of the Archdiocese. It's Dr. William Stevenson. Are you there, Dr. Stevenson?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to talk to you. You're one of my favorite professors.
Oh, thanks. You're one of my favorite students.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping to hear.
Just a mutual admiration society here.
She's saying that because she wants to graduate with honors, and she believes you're the one correcting the papers this time.
Dr. Easy A. Stevenson, yes.
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm hoping.
You are one of the most beloved. You bring a life and a joy to the Institute. I think one of the gems in the Institute itself is these phenomenal instructors we have, and we are so blessed.
Thank you.
So we're blessed to have you as an instructor there.
Thanks. It's a good crew to be a part of. It's all the instructors are just wonderful, so it's nice to be a part of that team.
I think what's great is not only the knowledge, but that you're reaching people who come from a knowledge base that can be very little to people who've had a lot of study before, and you're able to talk to all of them. How do you do it?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I try to stick as closely as I can to the catechism. That's the beauty of the catechism, is that, it's in some ways it's kind of easy because the catechism really addresses itself to all, Catholics wherever they may be. So there's plenty of, shall we say, milk for new believers or just inquirers, but there's lots of meat for those who are more advanced in the spiritual life or have a greater understanding of the Catholic doctrinal or intellectual tradition. So there's lots to do there. So in some ways, it's not actually that hard when you're working with the Catechism as your primary text. It's kind of a beautiful secret in a way.
For those who aren't familiar with the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, what these instructors, these phenomenal instructors, do is they walk you through the Catechism as a story from blessing to blessing. From the moment we are created in the heart of the Father, we are on this journey back to the heart, back to that familial relationship of the Trinity. And these instructors, over a two-year period, walk us through that as a story. It's kind of that ongoing formation for Catholics. Now, Dr. Stevenson, many Catholics don't think about ongoing formation. What do you think this kind of formal, systematic presentation of the faith does for the average Catholic?
Well, I can only say what I've heard so many times before from students who are in the program, is that they're amazed that they've been sort of sitting on this great patrimony or this great inheritance of the Church's doctrinal and spiritual tradition, and they wish they had known earlier what they're learning in the Catechetical Institute. I mean, that's a real kick for a professor to be able to hear that regularly. You know, all we're doing is we're not being ingenious or being original. We're just simply acquainting or reacquainting Catholics with the truth of the faith. And what they find is that it's not just acquiring information or more data about their religious tradition. It's putting them in intimate contact with God and with God precisely through His Church, and that's a wonderful thing. So it's life changing, not just simply informative. So that's when they dig into the Catechism and when we give them even just simply the tools to be able to read Scripture and the tools to go back to the Catechism again and again, they find it, I think, pretty much exhilarating. That's sort of the impression that almost to a man they give.
You know, Dr. Stevenson, I think one of the most impressive things is reading it over the 2 years in order. I've probably read on my own maybe half or a little more than half of the Catechism in bits and pieces, but it was transformative to read it in order.
That's right.
And
that's right.
The story that comes out. And then on one particular occasion, I don't know that I spent a lot of time reading the Catechism on the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt, bearing false witness, right? The shall not bear false witness. Because I thought, oh, I have this one. Mm-hmm. And then you taught it, and it was so deep and beautiful.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about the Catechism, is you think, well, I sort of know this. Maybe I could skip this part of the Catechism. And then that you find that even something like the Eighth Commandment, something that you think, is a slam dunk for you spiritually, it shines a light in maybe hidden places of the soul, and you have to take some things to the Lord in prayer. But it means then, once again, this is a matter of personal transformation. So it's an opportunity for genuine kind of interior growth. So, yeah, I agree. And plus, the nice thing about reading it all the way through, in order, as you say, it's a story.
Yes.
In its own way. And that themes come up multiple times, but they come back under different appearances, in different contexts and so forth. And so there's a kind of depth, there's a way in which it's like the truth of the faith is shown through the, it's like the light shining through the facets of a diamond. You just see this kind of, all the many colors and the depth of the truth of the faith. It's beautiful.
I think that's exactly it, that if you read it in bits and pieces, it's still lovely. There's still wonderful things. But when you read the whole thing, the story was completely unexpected to me. This is to be reading a story. And then the sense of how you can come at the same thing from 50 different angles. And it's so much more than a how-to book.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a how-to-live book.
Oh, to live. Kelly, that was a good one.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
That was a slam dunk.
And when we think, and how does the teaching of the Catechism change our lives? Like, Dr. Stevenson, what have you seen in how it's changed the lives of people in a practical way?
Oh, well, I mean, strictly speaking, it's not the Catechism that changes our lives. It's the God who we come to know through the Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
That we're talking about not just simply truths or mere facts. We're talking about truths that have been revealed by the living God, and it's ultimately that God. It is ultimately the living God who encounters us when we apply ourselves to the study of the catechism. And so it is going to transform our minds. It's going to, in transforming our minds, strengthen and reorient, reorder our wills. And so when you come into right relation, allows you, enables you to deepen your relationship with God, it's going to change your relationship with yourself, with your family, with, you know, in your workplace and so forth. So it's really the study of the catechism, which could seem like, you know, especially over 2 years, could seem sort of academic, is the most practical thing a Catholic can do. It really is.
I think that is exactly right. And having come at it from quite a bit of knowledge beforehand, the surprise at, the story, but how deep it leads. And I think what you've touched on is maybe the fourth pillar, especially as we are led deeper into prayer. And that's been a huge surprise. And at the beginning of this, I never expected how life-changing it would be. I just thought, oh, this is finally the discipline I need to read the catechism from beginning to end. Didn't see the life-changing part coming.
Well, I think a lot of people see that too, or they think that that's what the Institute's about. But as Dr. Stevenson said, it's that encounter with God, and you're encountering him in his word. You're encountering him in his teaching. You're encountering him in each other in that small group experience.
I was going to say
you're encountering him in that. We have what are called formative Saturdays, the sessions where you take that that head knowledge that you've been just gaining every Monday night, and you put it down in your heart, and you go forward. And how do you live that? So it really wraps up a bunch of wonderful aspects all in one to help us constantly grow in our faith. And we learn in the very first paragraph one of the catechism that God, infinitely blessed and perfect in himself, has a plan of sheer goodness. And that plan involves him coming at us every way he can, every way he can. So Dr. Stevenson, if you were talking to someone who just probably hasn't really studied their faith a lot, hasn't, like Alyssa, written their own catechism of hockey.
Yeah, I had to come and study the catechism, the real one, since I wrote my own.
But we kind of run the gamut of people who join the Institute. Some come in thinking, well, I just want to know a little bit more of my faith. Some are converts who just are on fire, and they're like, this book is amazing, you know. And then some are people who've written their own books or have doctors and doctorates in theology. But Dr. Stevenson, what would you say just to that average person driving to work right now who's just hearing it on their heart, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should join.
Yeah. All I can say is, I could say plenty because I've seen how the Institute changes lives routinely. And it's great to be a part of that. But all I can say is that for those people, especially that I've met in the course of, since the Institute began, that might be, you know, unsure as to what this is all going to amount to, that I hear time and time and time again how this has changed their lives. That is to say that the kind of unsatisfactoriness in their lives, or sort of, you know, they have some intuition that there's a missing piece, that this puts them in touch with what that is. And it really does change lives. Again, it would be much less interesting, it'd still be useful, if it were just sort of an information about your Catholic faith. But it's so, so much more than that. And you just see people again and again and again. I think the proof's in the pudding, right? You know, the testimony of those people who have actually gone through this is, in my experience, been uniformly, wow, this has been a life-changing 2 years. So really, I would look to the testimony of those who have done it. And I can also say, because I'm an instructor, it's not as though I've mastered this material. When I teach the Eighth Commandment, I don't do it as somebody for whom the Eighth Commandment is no longer relevant. As a professor, excuse me, I get convicted. I learn every single time I teach in the Catechetical Institute. So I speak to myself just as much. So returning it to it again and again, some of the lessons I've taught multiple times, and I continue to benefit from it. I continue to be convicted. I continue to come into a deeper relationship with God.
I think one of the things in the small groups, as you were saying, the life-changing part of it, is you hear people who are young parents or older parents whose kids are grown, and they're talking about how to parent at their age, even parents who have children out of the house, I finally have the answer when my kids, who maybe fell away from the church, are questioning something. I finally have an answer. Or young parents saying, now I know what to teach my kids. I can. That is life-changing when we can catechize the next generation or a lost generation.
That's true. And in fact, a lot of times, you know, I stick around after the lecture time. And many, maybe even more than half of the questions that I get kind of after the formal lecture is over with have to do with, how do I deal with this in my family? Mm-hmm. How do I teach my children this? Here's a difficult family situation, and I'm not sure, am I banging my head against the wall? How do I respond to this? Because they know that the catechism, if the Catholic faith isn't about the actual lives real human beings live, then, don't bother studying it. But they know, what they're already coming to know is that this is essential for living the good life that everybody seeks. And it really does have to do with more than just an individual person's edification or education. It has to do with all the relationships that make up their lives.
You're right. You're right. And what we see so much from the Institute is that those lives transformed go out and invite others to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have going on. We have a guest coming up in a little bit, Brad Uptall, who is in the distance ed class that is in Divine Mercy in Faribault. And that's new. And it's because down there, they're like, we want what you've got. We want that gem. And Dr. Stevenson, I understand you'll be traveling down south to Faribault on Monday to speak live and in person for that distance ed class.
Flying south on Monday.
Flying south. Yeah. So south.
I can't wait. One of the things I have to say, just to interject, I have such a blast with these students. That's the other thing that people should know about this institute, is that always the groups are just wonderful. There's such a spirit of unity and fun and so forth. So I can't wait to meet the folks in Faribault.
Well, this is fantastic. We're so glad you could come on and share this time with us. I can't wait to see you at the next time you're with the class of St. Francis. But good luck on Monday with the class of Divine Mercy.
And I look forward introducing you Monday and telling them about your side work as a tugboat driver.
I think it was a freelance tugboat deckhand.
Aspiring driver someday. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, Dr. Stevenson.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
God bless. And we will be right back with the Rediscover Hour.
He did the dishes, rubbed my feet, surprised me with tulips, took me to musicals, even though he didn't like them, carried my bags while I did the shopping, held my hand. He died of cancer 4 years ago. And because he loved me, I can stay in our home. I can be here for our children. I can afford to pay for their college education. I can worry about the other things in life besides money. He still loves me and still shows it.
Life insurance is about love. Show your love this month. Catholic United Financial. Life insurance, retirement products, IRAs.
Catholic.
Who we are.
United.
What we are.
Financial.
What we do.
Catholic United Financial. On the web at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. In the Plymouth, Rogers, and West suburbs, contact John Ginther.
I'm my hope on your return. Now all that sorrow so soon will burn. So tend my heart with tender hands and see your sunshine.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Kelly Walquist. I'm here with Alyssa Bormes.
Hi, Kelly.
Good to have you here. And Paul Sadek, as always.
You're stuck with me.
We are stuck with you. He threatened to run out and get us some coffee and not come back. But now he's stuck here. And we're talking about the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, which is kind of near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
And I know Alyssa's as well.
Mine as well.
And we just spoke with one of our great professors, Dr. Bill Stevenson. We have so many incredible professors. I think that's what just blows people away when they come to the Institute.
Even a bishop.
Even a bishop.
Yeah.
Bishop Cousins. Yeah, he's teaching in 2 weeks. We have got some, you know, Jeff Cavins, Bishop Cousins, Christina Smith, Deacon Joe Mahalik, Deacon Dan Gannon.
Liz Kelly.
And each of them brings their own uniqueness, their own personality, and just a plethora of theological knowledge to the class.
And easily digestible. They're not speaking above your head to show off how smart they are.
Right.
They're speaking right to you and right to your heart.
Right to your heart. I know when we first put the Institute together, we were talking about having different professors, one right after the other, and we were thinking, well, how is this going to work? How is this going to work? But we knew they were all teaching the same story. They were teaching from blessing to blessing. And I think what happens, the dynamic, is you come in and you hear Deacon Mahalik, and you're like, wow, that was great. And then the next week, somebody else is there. Say it's Dr. Flanders. And you're thinking, oh, here comes a new one. And then you're thinking, wow, that was great.
Every single week you leave.
Wow, that was great. Well, this year, we've got something great that's happening at Divine Mercy in Faribault.
This is impressive.
It is impressive. We've got what we have going as our very first distance education. Our distance education in Divine Mercy, and Justin Stroh and Sharon Wilson and a group of graduates from the Catechetical Institute really wanted to bring this down. And with Father Finnegan and Father Lundgren, who were there, we decided, okay, we'll try it. And we went down there, and they're doing it on video, except for a couple times. Like Dr. Stevenson will be traveling down on Monday.
So nice.
Live and in person. And so they're doing it on video, and they are just loving it. And today we've got Brad Upido, who is in the class of St. Gianna, CI South, we call you guys. He's in the class of St. Gianna, and he is, well, technically, Brad, you're a sophomore now because you're in your second semester,
right.
And we have four semesters. So how are you doing in your sophomore year?
You know, it's been a struggle to come out of the Christmas break to get back into the study role, but... last week's lecture with Deacon Mahalik, I mean, he gets you fired up no matter what he's talking about, so even on DVD. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, Brad, tell us a little bit about your background. I'm guessing you probably didn't write a catechism of hockey or volleyball or anything like that.
No, you know, and I think I was always scared of the catechism. Mm. It was, you know, a daunting deal for me, but I don't know, as a convert, I just took a look at, you know, the opportunity, you know, through our parish and the, you know, you mentioned a little bit about Father Kevin, and, you know, I just felt that, you know, it was something that I wanted to be a part of. So, anyway, it's been going along, the small groups and that kind of thing has just been even more... you know, a blessing in my life, blessing to blessing. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't written my book yet, but, you know, I feel there's one in there somewhere. I'm just trying to live it right now, but it's just been, you know, a real blessing to this parish. And as you mentioned, it's been awesome to see 36 people in our parish coming together. And I think attendance has been really, really good for everyone. So excited to see where it all goes.
Well, Brad, I saw your paper, and so you probably have a book in the making. So keep working. That was great. You did a great job. What were your, you know, we were down there, oh, man, probably about a year and a half ago, and just explaining the Catechetical Institute to all these starry-eyed students. And what were your expectations at that time? What did you think the Catechetical Institute was all about? And what have you come to learn about it since you have one semester under your belt?
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, knowing that you and Jeff were behind it and you know, knowing the other students that had gone through it, obviously, from our parish, you know, Justin and Sharon and Suzanka Jacob, I think, was one. You know, they just talked about what a great experience it was. So I had high expectations. You know, the difficulty was always, you know, if those guys traveled up there during that time. And so... I was excited, you know, I mean, what a blessing. I only live about a mile and a half from the church, so I can, you know, rush home and easily get to class. So my expectations were just what a great opportunity, and thank you, Lord. That's kind of, you know, and so then as it's come together, you know, from the very beginning, I think it's beyond expectations. I think anytime you just enter in and accept the teachings, and, you know, as I heard you a little bit talking about the instructors, you know, the Holy Spirit's there, and every week it's been great. Just keeps you going, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
So the fruits sound like they're partly this community in your own parish, where you're building a group of people together who can do the work of evangelization. But what are the fruits just in your own home, in your own life?
That's a great question. You know, it's such a busy life. I think it just, you know, with friends and family, you know, I think the kids, you know, they've seen a change, obviously, in me. Mm. You know, I can try to communicate. I think, you know, one of the challenges that I hear from a lot of people is evangelizing your family. And so all you can really do there for me is just, you know, showing my interest and my faith and walk in the walk. My wife has been very supportive, you know, because of the time that it takes away, you know, from our time together. But I think she's seen that. In fact, she paid me a great compliment. She said, you know, one time we were talking, and she said that, or we were talking that the husband and wife, the goal of a husband and wife is to get their spouse to heaven. Mm-hmm. She thought I was doing a better job than she was.
Maybe she'll come into the next class in Faribault.
I tried hard to talk her into it. She's a catechist. She's been a catechist for, oh gosh, it, you know, probably 7-8 years, and she teaches the first graders, and I've had to help her a few times, and she just loves those first graders, you know, teaching them First Communion, So that's her Wednesday night. So classes, I don't know, maybe someday.
We'll see about someday. And then now the community that you're with these other people, what have you already started things that are maybe reaching out to the parish, or where are you at with that?
You know, we have, you know, just with the commitment of the class, I mean, everybody's involved in, you know, as far as, you know, the people that I know are all people that I'd been associated with that I knew really well. I mean, everyone, I would call everyone in our class, you know, we're a pretty close parish, and the people that are in this are, you know, people that I've known. I've been a part of the parish for 25 years, so, and have participated in different ministries with most of the people that we have, and I know their kids, and so it's the, you know, they were always in our parish, it was always working, so I think it's the next phase of, you know, just to see where individuals go with their own walk and what else might come out of it. I know a few years ago, even some of them went through the Catechetical Institute, we did a Life in the Spirit seminar, and that was great. We had the community group from St. Paul came down and helped us. Was that Christ the Redeemer community out of St. Paul?
I think so, yeah.
Helping. Anyway, they came down and supported us, and we had a big group go through Life in the Spirit seminar, and so that was probably 5-6 years ago. So I think the fruit of that is just being open and you know, in this parish to new things and trying new things. And again, we had Father Finnegan down here for 15 years that always kept the fire stoked.
Yeah, well, and you are on fire. The Divine Mercy group is, they really are on fire. And it's amazing to see, just looking at the graduates and the students of the Institute right now, I mean, thinking we've got about 1,200 out there. Wow. Of graduates and students and people who are just on fire for their faith and want to live it with a renewed confidence, with conviction, with hope. And I think back to when we had the big conference, the big Rediscover conference in October, and 400 mm-hmm. of the graduates and students really did all the volunteer work for it and served the church. And I know, Brad, that you did a lot for that. You had a whole bus from Divine Mercy. You had videos. You did so much that was evangelistic.
Yeah.
And it really, when I look around, I'm thinking, wow, those are our students. That's so cool. Not to throw you under the bus or put you on the spot right now, but I think what we need to do is we need to do another service project. This coming Divine Mercy Sunday, and get a pilgrimage from the Catechetical Institute down to Divine Mercy, because your parish is beautiful. And I was down there last Divine Mercy Sunday, and it's what a wonderful day you put on. And I think more people need to know that. So, Brad, if you want to organize that.
Hey, thanks for planting the seed. You know, it is. It's a special place. I thanked God when the church went up so close to my house. You know, it was a big gift. You know, and the challenge is walking the walk when we combine three parishes down here to come through that and see the unity and the divine mercy that is manifested all the time in our parish. And it is, you know, there's a lot of pride, but I think there's a lot of humility in what we have going on, and we have a church that just is going to be the future down here, and it's exciting. And the bus side of it, yeah, as a matter of fact, I work for a company that actually was a leading with faith company and a bus company.
Minnesota
Coaches. So
there we go. There's the Holy Spirit at work.
They're always supportive of little adventures like that. So.
Well, let's do it. A pilgrimage. Thank you, Brad. Thank you so much for giving your yes and helping to bring others to Christ through your witness to your family, to your witness to all those in your community down at Divine Mercy. And we'll do that. We'll get a little Divine Mercy pilgrimage going.
It would be fantastic. And especially, sometimes we think pilgrimages have to be huge. They can just be little ones right down to Faribault.
Right down to Faribault. Mm-hmm. That'd be wonderful. Thanks, Brad. And we'll see you Monday at class with Dr. Stevenson.
Yes, I'll be there in the front row.
All right.
God bless you.
God
guys.
Bless.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Alyssa.
Bye-bye. When we come back at the Rediscover Hour, we'll be talking to Father Duffner, who is the pastor of Epiphany, and he has been hosting the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute for 2 years. We'll see you in a bit. Rediscover.
In every season, people in the Twin Cities appreciate working with a company they can trust and who get the job done right. That's exactly what you'll get from the Auto Glass Installed Company.
I'm Nancy Jasperson, and along with my husband Michael and my daughter Brandy, we've been sponsors of Relevant Radio for more than 5 years now. The Auto Glass Installed Company continues to install quality glass made in the U.S. for your car, truck, SUV, and even specialty vehicles and classic cars. We also repair chips, and we will come to your home for the most convenient and hassle-free experience in the industry. I hope the next time you need a chip repair or a windshield replaced, you'll give us a try.
Your windshield repair can be done this week at your home or office. And the Auto Glass Installed Company handles all the paperwork with the insurance company. 763-274-0177 or relevantradio.com, keyword glass.
Hi, welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. You're here with Kelly Wahlquist, Paul Sadek, and me, Alyssa Bormis. And now we have the great honor of welcoming one of my favorite people, one of my favorite priests, Father Duffner, from Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Father, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. So good to hear your voice, Alyssa.
Thanks. You're hearing half my voice. I'm a little hoarse today. So anyway, you are hosting the Catechetical Institute, which is what we're talking about today. And you've been doing it for 2 years, and I must say Epiphany has been an unbelievable host.
Well, we're so delighted to have it, and as soon as we heard it was possible, we wanted to make our entire plant available for this operation. Catechetical Institute is fantastic.
Well, and we are so excited, and to announce it right now today, too, that we will be back there for the next class, the class from 2015 to 2017. Mm-hmm. One more time, we're staying up north. We're going to be in the Church of the Epiphany, and really, really thrilled to be there. Your staff, you, Father, everyone, you make it easy.
Please don't say one more time. Make it forever.
Oh, forever and ever. Well, for sure for one more time.
Okay, all right.
Who knows? Maybe we will. Maybe we'll be all over the Twin Cities soon.
Hey, if you're considering it, I come from Eden Prairie, and I'm driving up to Coon Rapids, although I think the farthest is someone from Owatonna.
Wow.
And who happened to be my neighbor when I was growing up. But anyway, that's another story. But one of the great things, just as simple as this, is the parking is so ample and you don't have to think about it, which you do in St. Paul. So I'm making a big pitch for Coon Rapids again.
For the parking.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful.
Well, that is one of the perks, but there's a lot of other perks of having the Institute.
Many.
And Father, you've seen this. You've had these students now in your parish for almost 2 years. You've got a graduating class coming up. And I'm just wondering, how does having these formed Catholics change your ministry as a pastor?
You know, it so opens them up to receiving the faith. And when you find people in the pews who are open, are searching, whose heads are nodding, who are open to receiving whatever message the priest might give, it creates a welcoming environment for the gospel. It's outstanding.
What do you want those people to learn about their faith? Those that you are sending a letter off and saying, I really recommend them for the Institute. What do you want them to walk away with?
You know, the fullness of the faith predisposes us to holiness and to mission, to begin to go out and change the world with confidence, because we're sharers in the truth, not just a warm, fuzzy feeling that can't stand up against public pressure, but the fullness of the faith, that's what we've got, and it sends us on mission.
In your parish alone, what are you seeing from your, I know you're sending a lot of your staff, but tons of your parishioners are there as well. And so what are the concrete things you're seeing where they are able to stand up to the, you know, for the truth?
Well, you know, one of the things that pastors want to do is they have to have vision. Where are we going to go? Then you have to build a staff that shares the same vision. Mm. And so we have a united front, and we press the vision. Well, one of my staff people who's attending the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute, she says it's life-changing. I was so moved by what I learned, she writes, and was so thirsty to be in complete union with Jesus and his church that my husband and I had our marriage blessed. And all that because their boys were present, they were witnesses to it. She says, my whole family has benefited from the Catechetical Institute. She writes further, the program not only gave me the spiritual tools to witness my faith to my husband and my children, but was a catalyst for new spiritual growth in my family.
Mm-hmm.
That's
wow.
Awesome.
Beautiful. And just even the marriage blessed, here she is on your staff, the marriage blessed, and now realizing why that was necessary.
Right, right. She just didn't know it at the
right,
time.
Right, exactly.
And wanted to become a Eucharistic minister and saw the archdiocesan standards require that you have your marriage blessed, and it was like, ding, that
wow.
Isn't the case yet. And realizing from your instructions that she took in the catechetical that this is what marriage is. This is how Christ sanctifies and blesses, and I am not there yet. And she opened the door.
Wow, what a joy that must have been to witness it.
Oh, it was a real treat.
Wow.
So this builds staffs. I mean, if I could
right.
say anything to the priests, this builds our staffs. And so we subsidize that. We send our staff. And anybody who wants to go, we carry them. Because once you've got a whole staff singing from the same piece of music, all mm-hmm. kinds of good things are possible. Teachers, we subsidize our teachers to come because we want them all to know and love the Lord and share the faith with zest.
Do you mean just the teachers, your catechists, or teachers from your school as well?
School teachers, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so
great.
We make this possible. We subsidize this. We think that this is probably the most powerful thing we can do for staff development.
Wow, and you know, when we looked at putting this together, that was one of the goals we wanted to hit, is to teach the teachers to teach,
mm-hmm.
to help the leaders lead. And that's what the Institute wants to do, is really help equip people. We've got the diaconate. If you're in the diaconate, they come first and foremost to the Catechetical Institute. The class that is at St. Paul right now is so blessed to have the seminarians. The pre-theo 1 and 2 guys are in there with them. So it is beautiful to see us all growing in community. And I like how it trickles down not only to the school, like you said, Father, to your staff, but also builds the family. It
oh,
builds
yeah.
a family. And right now that's so detrimental. I mean, what are a couple of areas in family life that you think, Father, are hurting and can be built by the knowledge of the beauty of the truth of this faith?
Well, you know, when you start with the thinking with the mind of the church, it isn't just snippets. It's not just like a few loose facts. But the catechetical gives you a Catholic worldview. It gives you a toolbox. It gives you a whole way of relating to the world in Christ. And so that's going to touch just how mom and dad relate as husband and wife. What are the roles of husband and wife? What is marriage morality? How ought I to love my spouse? And if mom and dad are united, if dad is built up by mom's love, if mom is cherished by dad, all of a sudden, the kids start to fall in line. when mom and dad set out expectations for the kids that of course we go to Mass on Sunday, of course we, no sports can get in the way. That would be like idolatry if soccer took the place of Mass. We're all in trouble and God can't bless our family and our marriage or anything. If we start to share this, everything starts to line up.
Father, you've hit on something that is so close to my heart, is that we usually have parents, especially the fathers, are the catechesis of sports.
Mm.
But now with the Catechetical Institute, all these beautiful men that are going, and they're the catechetical head, the spiritual head of the family.
Oh,
this is life-changing.
It's powerful. So once the men are involved and as teachers of their children, specifically of their sons, when they raise up sons who are virtuous and courageous, that changes the world. Mm-hmm. When they're affirmed by their parents and loved by their parents in Christ, and loved in the truth, which sometimes means that we have not only affirm, but we have to challenge, sometimes discipline, we form sons. And we make them ready to become the leaders of the next generation. So we're not dumbing down one generation at a time. We're building.
I think that's huge, the building. That the catechism is, first of all, the catechism builds from the first paragraph to the end, and it's a story. And so are our families. They're a story, and they fit right in with the story of salvation.
Right.
And having to teach them that story.
Yes.
As we started the hour today, Father, talking about the end of Deuteronomy. And one of the lessons in that was teach
the
pass
children.
On that story,
right.
Pass on that great story.
Right. I set before you a blessing and a curse. You know, choose life that you may live. There's such power in it. And you know, one of the things that that the men need is going to be a truth that they can hang their hat on. It's a
yes.
It's a firm peg. It's an immovable object. Truths are difficult. They're stubborn things. And once you hand a man a truth, he'll hold on to it tenaciously. If you hand him only a feeling, he can be pushed around by difficulties and pressures and accommodating to the world, and he's already tired and overburdened. But hand a man a truth, a stubborn thing like that, and he's got to stand on it.
You know, this reminds me of something that Fulton Sheen always talked about, was that teenagers, especially, are looking for something they can die for. And he meant, they can give everything to. We usually give them sports, but we need to give them the faith. And if we give them the truth, they can hang their hat on it. They can build a life on it.
I so support that. You know, we saw that the terrible atrocities that took place in Libya just the other day.
Yes.
And there were Coptic Christian men who died with the name of Jesus on their lips.
Mm.
And the very next day, we all marked our foreheads with ashes. Remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Any Copts with that cross on their forehead were at great risk. And they were witnesses to Jesus Christ. And you and I have to be his witnesses in the world.
Yes, and know how to witness. It's the toolbox.
Yeah.
And that, well, you're giving everyone the place that they can open the toolbox at.
Yeah. Secretly, some of us priests are in competition to see how many of our prisoners we can
get. It's not so secret.
Father Sklizacik is still ahead of me with St. John the Baptist New Brighton. He started ahead of me, but we're catching up fast.
Yeah,
we had over 40 this time, and we're going to get another big bunch if we can for starting next fall.
That's so great. And then to see how you're implementing it, like you were talking about building your staff, and I think back to a couple of years ago when Father Sklizacik had started, and he had his 18 top 10 reasons. He couldn't get it quite down to the 10.
That's fantastic.
His 18 top 10 reasons to go to the Institute. And I think there was 18 top 10 things you could do when you came out of the Institute or while you were in there. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I like that little healthy competition, Father. I think that's good.
Oh, it's wonderful.
And we are blessed also to have you as one of our instructors. And
I'm
know,
honored to help.
Phenomenal. And I know that you have a session coming up soon on confession. And what a great time to be talking about confession. Here is where we're going to repent and return to the Lord. Give us a little sneak peek on what you're going to tell the students about confession.
Well, Let me sidetrack that ever so slightly. In Holy, at Epiphany here, we're about to redo our Adoration Chapel and move the confessions into the main church. And because of what I've had great success at in the past is Sunday morning confessions. And the church allows us even to hear confessions during the Mass. What I've found before, and over many years of practice now, is that if you can hold confessions on Sunday morning and even during the Mass, you get the men. Mm-hmm. And when the men start to go to confession, when they start to attach their lives to the gospel, all of a sudden they start to sanctify their families. And so confession is a powerful means of evangelization, to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we're loved, that we're forgiven, that we get a fresh start. And so the power of the sacrament of confession is enormous and much too hidden away, much too restricted to only, let's just say, Christmas and Easter. We can use this to come to know God's love. You remember the Benedictus that we say in the liturgy, the hours in the morning? He will give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And so the sacrament of penance is one of the most awesome experiences that we all ought to use regularly in order to come to know the Lord.
Amen. That's what I have to say to that. And Father, having been at a parish where you were, where we had Sunday confessions, it is so powerful as a parishioner to witness it and to see people in line. And then the other thing is that I had one of my students one time said, you know, I look around in line and I think, God, we're all sinners, but we're trying to do something about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
And if somebody else is in confession, maybe I should be there too.
Exactly. Or your kid's in line. Now you need to get over there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like when those kids are in line.
I do too.
I do, especially my own, because then for the next week, they're so good. And I suppose we're all like that. You don't want to wreck it.
Yeah.
You just want to be so good. Well, Father, it has been a pleasure having you here. You're an absolute delight. You are a joy to have in the Catechetical Institute. We are so blessed by your hospitality at Epiphany. We're blessed by your staff. I just can't say enough wonderful things about Epiphany.
Even after the wine conference,
even
how amazing.
After,
and I'm so grateful you held that up here.
Amazing.
Oh, well, that was your staff was over the top. You know, the Knights of Columbus, that's one of the things all the women said at that conference. They're like, man, those men, really, they really took care of us. They worked hard.
Yeah.
You know, if when you can feed 1,000 women in 10 minutes, you are being Christ-like. Amen.
That's
well,
true.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Father. It's been a pleasure talking
You're
to you this morning.
You're most welcome. God bless you.
God bless you. And the Catechetical Institute will begin another session beginning September 2015 at the Church of the Epiphany. And you can register. Go to cistudent.com and pull down an application.
And here's a look at what's coming up around the Twin Cities. St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in New Brighton welcomes you to Dad's Belgian Waffle Breakfast, Sunday, February 22nd, 8:30 to 12:30, $7 per person. Children under 5 are free. It's sponsored by St. John's Knights of Columbus. Find out more. Call 651-633-8333. That's 651-633-8333.
And come to a pancake breakfast to benefit Pope John Paul II Catholic School in Northeast Minneapolis this Sunday, February 22nd, from 8 to noon at St. Clement's. It's $7 for adults, $4 for children. And for more information, please visit www.popejohnpaul2ne.org or call St. Clement's at 612-789-3533.
Jean Stolpestad, Director of the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, will speak on promoting healthy, strong marriages and families Thursday evening, February 26th, 7 p.m. at St. Raphael's in Crystal. Her presentation will be followed by discussion and refreshments. For details, call 763-537-8401. That's 763-537-8401.
Good Shepherd Parish in Golden Valley is sponsoring two Lenten retreats. Men are invited to come Saturday, March 7th, 8:30 to noon. Deacon Tom Winiger will lead a retreat to guide men on finding meaning in their life. Cost is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and pizza lunch. And on March 14th, I'll be leading the Lenten Women's Retreat. You're invited to come and hear Created to Relate, the Radical Role of Women in Family, Church, and Society. Cost is $20. To get tickets, contact Good Shepherd Parish in Golden Valley at 763 844-0416.
Now, don't forget about the Archdiocesan Men's Conference. This is going to be a big one. Saturday, March 21st. How many women did you have at the wine conference?
We had 1,000. We're gonna give you a little challenge.
We'll shoot for a couple thousand.
Okay, 1,001.
At the University of St. Thomas, March 21st, a Saturday, at St. Thomas Fieldhouse in St. Paul. Join men of all ages and walks of life from around the Archdiocese for a morning, which includes Mass, breakfast, dynamic speakers, including Relevant Radio's Father Rich Simon. You'll hear him every weekday morning at 10 o'clock on Father Simon Says. He'll be the keynote speaker at the men's conference, along with opportunity for confessions, a whole lot more. Theme of this year's conference is Conquering Sin. Register online at archspm.org. That's archspm.org. You can also search for events or the men's conference at archspm.org. Fantastic show, ladies.
It was wonderful.
Wonderful to be here.
Wonderful to be Jeff Cavins today,
to be
wasn't
Jeff
it?
Cavins.
All three of us.
Is Jeff back next week? Does anybody know?
I believe he is.
I am Jeff Cavins.
Excellent. You did a good job, Jeff.
I'm Paul Sadek, and on behalf of Kelly Walquist and Alyssa Bormas, thank you for joining us for the Rediscover Hour. We'll see you next week.
You can rediscover. Yeah, come on, rediscover.
Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.
Rediscover.